I want to thank my good friend for the invitation to bring you these three devotionals. And, you know, when we come together for a service like this, we come to study the Word, isn't it? And that's what I want to do this morning, tomorrow morning, and the next. I would like to, this morning, to analyze a very fascinating story in the Old Testament and draw from it the lessons, the relevant lessons that God has in it for us in these end times. Somebody told me this week when the plan worked out for me to be here and said, "Well, you know, Elder, at your age now, you must be careful." And that's a good sound over there. What? You know, at 92, I'm still young. And I thank the Lord. I can tell you some stories about what has happened during these 92 years. All of God's amazing leadership. So I'm glad to be here this morning. And I told them I'm a subscriber to the philosophy of Mark Twain, that age is an issue of mind over matter. And if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. Yes, if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. Now, for this morning, I'd like to take you with me on a little journey. And we are in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. If you'd open your Bibles. And I'm going to do a very quiet verse-by-verse analysis of a narrative that I'm sure is going to inspire all of us. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verses 1 to through 7. And the narrative is one of a widow. She comes to Elisha and states her case. And her case is one in which her husband died in bankruptcy. She has two sons, and she says now, "The creditor is coming to take my two sons in servitude." She is desperate. She is needy. She is destitute. She doesn't know what to do. But you know, the Lord always provides, doesn't he? And he provides a man known as Elisha. I like the way he's qualified. He's called the man of God. Isn't that good? And by the way, God always provides such men in times of need. So this lady comes to Elisha and she states a case. I want you now to take a look at these verses as we analyze them. "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Notice verse 2 now. We're doing a Bible study. Verse 2. "So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? And what do you have in your house?'" Two questions. I'd like to suggest that those two questions are two eye-opening questions, because they introduce an entire series in these seven verses of the relationship between faith and works. Right? Faith and works. They are inseparable in the salvation history plan. Notice what happens here now, and it says that these two questions are intentional. Look at the next verse now and see what happens. And he says now, "What do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Your servant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Was that a very promising situation? Of course not. This reminds me of what I call small faith response. What do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing at all except a little oil. But I have good news for you this morning, that however small your supply might be, God is able to multiply that supply. Amen. It's a marvelous experience. This belated admission would radically transform the entire life of this dear lady and the life of her two sons. And they will also transform our own lives as we submit to the will of God. She underestimated her resources and her potentials. Do we do that sometimes? I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just a local elder. I'm just an old man. I'm just a lady in the church. I can't do this. I can't do that. But I have news for you. God can use anybody who submits to his will. Little becomes much when we place it in the Master's hand. I can tell you stories here this morning, but time will not allow, of men and women who had nothing, thought they had nothing, had no preparation, no potentials. Some thought they came from nowhere, but our God is a God who takes nobodies and makes them somebodies. That's the God we have. So, little becomes much when we place it in the Master's hand. Now, Elisha wants this lady to see a new day, to get a new vision, to put aside her small faith, mediocre concept, and think big. So notice what he says now in verses 3 and 4. Then he said, go and do what? Borrow vessels from everywhere. Go borrow vessels. By the way, this is such a powerful example of the intimate relationship between the Siamese twins of faith and works. Here is what he says to her. Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. And that's why I have entitled this little talk this morning, this Bible study, Come Empty, Go Full. Come empty, go full. And I hope you've come today with your containers all empty. And as you leave here, they are filled with the love of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, and all the blessings he promises to us when we come to him in faith. Now, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. And then he adds something here that fascinates me. You know, Elisha was a man of great vision, and he understood human nature. And he said, when you go, notice what it says here, do not gather just a few. So I ask the question, why did Elisha make that statement? Go borrow vessels. And when you go, don't borrow just a few. You know, this puts into action what I call the miracle team. And God does not like to perform miracles without us. That's why he includes us in his miracles. For example, as I went through this, it occurred to me that Elisha is the operation director. That the widow is the operator, the operation implementer. That the two sons would be the resource collectors. And the neighbors would be the resource providers. And God, working with them, would perform a mighty miracle that would transform the lives of everyone in that team. Thank God that he uses us as members of his team in the performance of transforming miracles. Amen. Now, don't miss this one. Our powerful God loves to include us, human beings, in life-changing miracles. We are his helping hands. What do you say? Amen. We are team members with God, partners with him in his redemptive plan. And I thank God that every one of us present here to this morning is an instrument chosen by God to be a part of this team that performs miracles that will transform lives of men and women and prepare them for the kingdom of God. Wow. So the caution is here, don't ask for just a few. Why did he say that? Don't ask for just a few. The implication is ask for many, right? Not just a few. I was in Trinidad for many years, and a fascinating story took place that I want to share with you to illustrate this point. Don't ask for just a few. Ask for many, because God is a God who is always extravagant in his gifts to us. The Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago one day went to do some shopping, and inadvertently he dropped his wallet in the middle of the mall, and an Adventist pastor came along and saw the wallet, picked it up. When he opened it up, he noticed that there were so many $100 bills in it, all kinds of private information, and of course, there was the name of the Minister of Finance of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. Well, he took it, called the Minister of Finance, told him what had happened, and the minister said, "I'll be there to pick it up any moment." "No," said the preacher. You know, I like preachers with vision, administrators with vision, pastors with vision, church members with vision, who don't ask for a few, they ask for many. Great things, and God blesses their endeavors. Well, the time came, and he went to see the Prime Minister, the Minister of Finance, and as they talked, the minister thanked him so very much. Then he asked him a question. "You are a minister. Of what church are you a minister?" And he said, "The Seventh-day Adventist Church." What a good opportunity, isn't it? Well, and then as they concluded their conversation, he asked him an interesting question, similar to Elisha's question. And the question was, "As a church, what can I do for you?" Come on now. What can I do for you? Well, he could have said, "We have a little church down the road that needs benches." Or give him some small project. But that pastor thought immediately. And he said, "You know, I am connected with the Caribbean Union College. And some time ago, we got a loan from the government. But things went badly. And the presses we purchased didn't function as we wanted them to. The business went bad, and we don't know what to do. We owe the government $12 million. $12 million, and we have not paid on the interest or the principal. Several years have gone by." And then he said, "Sir, I would appreciate if you would give some study to this and see whether you could consider reducing our commitment to the government or forgiving the debt altogether." No, you laugh. That's big thinking. Don't ask for just a few. Well, let me cut the story short because we don't have a lot of time. And the minister said, "I'm leaving tomorrow, but I'll be back next week. And as soon as I come back, we will take this up in the cabinet." Sure enough, several days afterwards, there was a letter. And the letter said, "The government has considered your request. We have known your church for years. You do a wonderful job in ADRA." And he began to name all the things we do as a church. And the cabinet has decided to forgive the debt. $12 million. Don't ask for just a few. Think big. And I want to remind you this morning, my dear brothers and sisters, that we are to think big. What do you say? Pray big. Plan big. Have big vision. And the big God will give us magnificent results. Trust him, and he leads us all the way. Yes, no longer is she now concerned with her situation. Elisha's told her what to do. She closes the door. Her two sons are there. They begin to bring all of these vessels, and as they bring them in, she fills them. Oh, how God works, isn't it? A little oil in a jar. And as many vessels as they brought were filled. Notice what happened, and I'd like you to remember this. No longer does she have a little oil in the jar. She now has all of these vessels filled with oil from everywhere. What a God we serve, isn't it? God's supplies are infinite and plenteous. And the more we ask, the more he gives. What do you say? Amen. I was in southern Trinidad some time ago and looked at a fantastic phenomenon there in that country known as the pitch lake, the asphalt lake. That has been discovered way back in the 1500s. And the lake provides asphalt to countries all over the world. And I was amazed as I saw what went on there day by day. They would dig a large section, take the asphalt out to purify it, and then ship them around the world. And by the next morning, when you go over there, you would find that hole filled up again. And during the last several hundred years, that lake has lost only a few inches. Every day it is replenished. And it reminds me of the way God supplies our needs over and over again as we come to him in faith. It reminds me of a magnificent, beautiful text of the Apostle Paul when he says, our God will supply what? All our needs according to his what? Riches in glory. And by the way, God has no limits. No limit to his grace. Hallelujah. No limits to his power. No limits to his forgiveness. God is always there when we come to him in faith. Yes, Christ will do that for us. Our prayer then should be this morning, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up and make me whole. That should be our prayer as we go through this wonderful camp meeting. Let's go to verse 6. Verse 6. And we are coming to the high point of this beautiful story of the miracle. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, what did she say to the son? You know, I put on my preacher imagination whenever I read these things, and I imagine the ecstasy, the delight, the satisfaction on the part of this widow. When she came, she was despondent. She didn't know what to do. Elisha tells her what to do. She does not question Elisha. Did you notice that? Go borrow vessels. Don't borrow just a few. Fill them. What does she do? She obeys. Does she know the outcome? Where is everybody? No. She does it by faith. And I challenge you this morning, brothers and sisters, let us, like this widow, exercise faith in God, the God who has led us all the way. And when we do that, he blesses our efforts. So, notice what happens in verse 6. Beautiful thought. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. What happens next? And he said to her, there is not another vessel. Stop there for a moment. there is not another vessel. Now, why did the oil stop? You don't have to be a scientist to discover that. Why did the oil stop? The answer is very simple. Notice what it says here. There is not another vessel, so the oil what? Ceased. Why did it cease? There was not another vessel. There were no more empty vessels. And the good news I have for you this morning is that when we come to God, it does not matter the size or the magnitude of our needs. He can supply them as long as we come to Him as empty vessels to be filled by His power. Oh, what a wonderful thought, isn't it? Christ's fullness is always available for us. He wants to fill our empty jars with His never-ending grace, His empowerment, His extravagant love, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for His grace. So notice here now, there is not another jar. And I like a statement from the Seventh-day Adventist commentary. It's short, rushed to the point. And it says that God can no longer give when man is no longer prepared to receive. I'll read it again. God is no longer able to give when man is no longer prepared to receive. So as long as we're prepared to receive, God is able to give. Praise God. So the good news for today is that God's supply of grace and power is inexhaustible. His inventory is never out of stock. He never runs dry. His resources never run dry. His resources never run low. They are always plentiful, abundant grace for all of our needs. And I like the words of this hymn, just a few lines, and it says, His power knows no limit, and His grace knows no measure. Now, Paul said it beautifully, My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. And as long as we come to Him, empty, He supplies our needs. Verse 7. Let's take a look at verse 7 as we wrap up this study of this miracle. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God. She's reporting now, isn't it? She came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Isn't that beautiful? Go, sell the oil. I want you to notice something in this narrative, that when she came to Elisha, she came destitute and hopeless. She was in need, desperate need. So Elisha says to her, Go borrow. We conclude the narrative as Elisha says, Go sell. Big difference, isn't it? Go borrow, go sell. Through her faith-driven obedience, the widow moves from a destitute borrower to a confident supplier. Wow. And that's exactly what God does for us when we come to Him in faith. From scarcity to prosperity, from bankruptcy to independence, from want to abundance, she is no longer afraid of the creditor who is coming. Praise God, a long time ago on a hill called Calvary, Jesus Christ took care of the debtor. Amen. So we are not afraid of the debtor anymore because Christ has taken care of that. Go borrow empty jars. Now go sell the oil. And she is now confident and joyous and secure. And I suggest to you this morning as Seventh-day Adventist believers, this should be our experience day by day. Confident, secure in Christ, full of hope, because of what the power of the gospel has done in our lives. The widow and her sons are now liberated from the servitude of the creditor. That word liberated is a very important word. The burdensome debt is now paid in full. She no longer owes the creditor. She's free. That's a hallelujah thought, isn't it? And the good news I have for you this morning is that when Christ died on the cross, don't forget this, when he died there, he paid our debt in full. I said he paid it in full. All of it. We need only to come to him as this lady did, empty vessels, full of faith and obedience to God. Wow. You know, a long time ago, I had an experience that gave me a deeper understanding of how this dear lady felt. You know, we had a car and we paid for it for 5 years. And then one day we got a note that the entire cost was paid off and the car was ours for the first time. So I took our four daughters and my wife and we had a ball. We went to a restaurant and had a great time. My brothers and sisters, Christ has already taken care of our guilt, our sins. When we come to him in faith, believing, he forgives. And when he forgives, he buries the hatchet and the handle as well. And we stand before him as though we had never sinned. Amen? Amen. On the cross, Jesus canceled our debt in full. We are no longer afraid of the creditor because we are free in the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 8. While we were what? Yet sinners. What happened? Christ died for us and he paid all of our debt. That's a hallelujah thought. Therefore, there is no condemnation. By the way, as a preacher, I'm amazed how often we use Romans 8 as though there was only one declaration there that was worth analyzing. And we say it all the time. There is no condemnation. But as I go through that chapter, I notice four things. There is no condemnation. Amen? There is no accusation. There is no separation. And there is no defeat. No condemnation, no accusation, no separation, and no defeat. What a marvelous transaction. On Calvary, Jesus liquidated all our debts. And he has transformed, listen carefully, he has transformed my debit balance into a credit balance. You know, it's like going to the Bank of America. I don't know how many of you have accounts there. Some of you rich people go in bigger banks. But I go to the bank and I go to pay my account. And the young lady on the other end says, well, you don't have a debt anymore. You have a credit balance. So I said, now, where did that come from? And the young lady says, well, Bill Gates came in here yesterday and he paid off your entire bill. How would you feel? But something better than that has happened to us, isn't it? All has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have now the joy of knowing that Christ is our Savior, our Redeemer, the resurrected Lord, the interceding Christ, and the soon coming King. Our prayer should be this morning, fill me now. Amen? Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now. Let me conclude by telling you a fascinating story which illustrates the God we serve, the God who fills our emptiness, who gives us hope and peace and joy and assurance in him, and guarantees eternal life for us. I was in Colombia some time ago. On my way to the division office for a special meeting, I got to the counter at the airport, and the young lady said to me, "Well, sir, you can't travel today because the flight is full. The flight is full." Well, I said it couldn't be full because I have a reserved confirmation. And preachers must be insistent, eh? Well, she said, "No, you can't go, sir. It's filled." Well, I said to her, "Ma'am, I would like to see your boss." Well, she said, just go right over there, turn this, go to that office over there, and that's where he is, and you can tell him your case." So I went over, and when I gave him my ticket, he looked at it, and he said, "But, sir, you don't have a problem." Well, I said, "Sir, I know I don't have a problem. That's why I'm here." "But somebody at the front does have a problem." Then he took my ticket, looked at it. Then he got a little piece of paper, wrote a note on it, stamped it on my ticket, and told me to take it to the young lady. I took it to her, and the next question was a very joyous one. And she said to me, "Do you have anything to check in?" You know what made the difference? The difference was that I had a confirmed reservation. Amen? And brothers and sisters, because of what Christ has already done for us, because of what he is now doing for us, and because of what he has guaranteed he will do for us when he comes, we have nothing to fear. Because we have a confirmed reservation. And listen to me, there is always more to come. Young man left Jamaica, went to one of the great countries of Europe, worked for many years, got a lot of money, and sent back some money to his mother. And when the mother opened the envelope, very poor woman, there it was, filled with all kinds of goodies. And then there was a little note that said, "Mother dear, there is more to come." And the next month she got another check, big one, bigger than the one before. And it says, "Mother dear, there is more to come." Month after month, a new check came, each time bigger than the one before, with a little note, "There is more to come." And the good news I leave with you this morning, brothers and sisters, is that there is more to come. Amen. God has given us a message, hasn't he? Yes. Hasn't he? Yes. He has given us life. He has given us hope. He has given us the opportunity to be partners with him in the miracle of transforming lives. And he says, "Come to me as empty vessels, and I will fill you. And as you are filled, share the good news with others. And remember, there is always more to come." Amen. How many would like to say this morning, "I thank God that he wants me to be a part of his miracle of transformation in the lives of others. I rededicate my life to God, and I say, Lord, today, fill me now. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your love. Empower me so that I leave this place and be a great instrument for good in the lives of others." How many would like to say that? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that there is always more to come. Thank you for your grace, your forgiveness, your love, your goodness, your transforming power. And as we leave this place this morning to carry out the activities of this day, may your grace be sufficient. May your presence be felt in our lives. May we feel enriched, energized, strengthened, and blessed. And may your name be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. And remember, there is always more to come.